Thank you, Beck, and thank you to the Goji Inn group and family and network for having us from Nelson Mandela University here in what's a cold Gqeberha, which is formerly known as Port Elizabeth. I'd like to take the liberty of presenting my colleague and dear friend, Koshle Terblanche. Koshle, you want to say hi before we begin?
I'll just wait for now.
So like Beck said, it's being recorded, and then we'll have opportunities for questions in the chat as we go along. I'd also like to introduce two of the staff members of the student advocacy group that we have here at Nelson Mandela, which is called the Open Education Influencers, or OEIs, O-E-I, small letter S. Hannah and Lindsay are here, and you'll get to meet Hannah and Lindsay in just a few short minutes. And with that said, let me share my screen and we can begin. Someone can just give me a verbal indication that they can see my screen. It would be very appreciated.
Yes, we can.
Thank you. So, like I said, my name is Gino Fransman, and this is the Goji Inn webinar session, 18th August, 2022. The title of our session is Open Empowerment and Evaluation. So professional development, content curation, and then quality. And you'll see the matters is in small letters. And that's because we don't want to infringe upon other people's research outputs. Your presenters today, I'm hoping that I'm not going to get these notifications about the waiting room, which kind of go across my screen here. And your presenters today are myself, Gino Fransman, and I'm from the Open Education Influencers, and then Koshle Terblanche, who's from Learning Experience Design and Innovation. And we're both housed in the LT CoLab here at Nelson Mandela University. So the Open Education Influencers, or OEIs, and you can say that out loud so that we don't have the OEIS, which is, yeah, not what we call. So OEIs are ambassadors for open, who increase the awareness of OER, open educational resources, and open education practices. We facilitate the adoption, creation, and licensing of OER, but really open content. Open Ed influencers energetically advocate for the use of open textbooks across purpose, faculties, and schools. We'll speak about that and our 2022 Open Textbooks Fellowship as I go along. So what's the background and connection to Goji Inn? Well, I have a very personal one here, and that's a picture from, I think, 2015, if I'm not mistaken. And this was in Banff in Canada. And our fearless leader in the middle there, I'm not sure if you can see where my cursor is, but that's Prof. Fred Mulder, an RIP Prof. Fred Mulder, who led us fearlessly into an international network of PhD researchers engaging in open research. On the far left of the screen is Dr. Robert Farrow, and Dr. Robert Farrow is one of the program managers of Goji Inn, and was also my mentor. And while I was doing my PhD, still incomplete, let me just be honest, he actually told me that what I was doing was more about advocacy than research. And against my stubborn nature, it took a while for me to actually embrace the advocacy part because I was struggling so much with the research. What it did mean was then going from the PhD and leaving that to the side, it meant that I could focus on advocacy, which turned into the Open Education Influencers Initiative here at Mandela Uni, and then became the Empowerment Online Free Open Course called Becoming an Open Education Influencer, or shortened to BOE. What did we do? Well, what do we do? It's about awareness raising. Speak about that. It's about empowerment. It's a lot of mentoring. It's because we want professional development of our student cohorts. Student voice is such an integral part of what we do here. It gave us access to networks, which was also access to travel and amazing opportunities. We've been all across the world. And thank you, Goji Inn, for being so generous with that. Open Education for a Better World. I'm now the Africa Hub Coordinator, and we go to Slovenia in September to present some of this work with other content authors from across the world. It meant that we could start the Open Education Influencers Project at Nelson Mandela with a good firm footing after being empowered in the domain and with a community of practitioners to rely on, to lean on, to also collaborate with. In 2022, it means that we have an open textbook fellowship here at Nelson Mandela University. And Hannah and Lindsay are actually busy working on an updated 2022 version of the Student Textbook Experience Survey, where we look at student voice and their experiences of dealing with, managing with traditional textbooks. So I spoke about a lot of things that we're doing now, and you can see that the plans for 2021 and 2022 are really, and there's a long list of things that we've been doing and that we are still about to do. What's important for this year, I think, is that the Roots to Open webinar series is coming up, and I'm going to be reaching out to some of the people in this room to collaborate with us, to engage with our staff, with our students, and people who are going to be joining in that series of webinars, which looks at the practicalities of opening up as practitioners, as educators, and as students. So the Open Education Influencers Project, well, the aim is really to empower others to activate personal, community, professional development goals, and it's all related to the sustainable development goals. And how? By doing something about achieving it. Open education influencers don't just say, they do. And the BOE course, the Becoming an Open Education Influencer course, is really that vehicle. The course has 6 modules. It's open. It's Ubuntu, which is a philosophy of sharing, an African philosophy of sharing, and it ties in beautifully with the aims and intentions of open. Third module is advocacy, because we need to get this message across to other people. And how do we do that? By facilitating either online or face-to-face. Well, mask to mask is what we call it at Mandela Uni now. The other module is influencing, and you see the G has been shifted there by some feat of formatting. Thank you to the system for doing that for us. And influencing means that there are different locations of power, really. And students sometimes need to be able to speak upwards to lecturers and tell them, hey, like, have you seen this thing called open education resources? Don't you think that this is a wonderful opportunity for innovating the provision of teaching and learning materials, perhaps? And of course, the sustainable development goals. Why? Because we live in a bigger world, and because of technology, we don't just engage in our own private spaces any longer. So the BOE course is on the engage.mandela.ac.za learning management system, which in our case here at Mandela Uni is Moodle. The Engage system, however, means that it is publicly accessible. So instead of having to be a registered user at the university and everything is then hidden behind a paywall or an access wall, the Engage and courses that are placed on there are available to anyone. You can go there, you can click on the Open Education tag or option there. And once there, you'll see a list of courses. You are able to self-enroll. And thank you to Andrew Thiel for designing this few slides for me yesterday, which helps you to actually activate and enroll yourself. The enrollment key is there, and it's BOE 2022 for you to self-enroll and access the course. Good luck. Each module is 6 hours long. It's no playing around. It's fully assessed. And at the end of it, you will leave there able to advocate for change in education using open education resources, but really to share the amazing opportunities that open presents. Download onto your cell phone, you are able to work offline, so you can do your coursework offline, you can take the assessments, and when you reconnect, it will update the system and your progress will be automatically recorded. So once again, thank you to Andrew Thiel from LXD for the work to make this real. So every time, like, someone's in the waiting room, and then what it does is it opens up that screen thing on top. So the teams of open education influencers, since 2018, we've been a reality really. And you'll see 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2021. And this leads me to the team in 2022. And both Hannah and Lindsay are here. Hannah's an aspirant music therapist. Lindsay is a master's student in the law faculty. I'm going to hand over to them briefly so that they can just say something about the professional development that we've put into the actual presentation title. Lindsay, over to you.
Hi, everyone. Trust you can see and hear me. As Gino said, my name is Lindsay. I'm a master's in law student here at NMU. And yeah, being part of the open education team at Mandela Uni really has been such an eye-opening experience for me. The first thing that we did as OEs was complete the BOE course. And prior to completing BOE, the word influencer brought with it some negative connotations, you know, relating to the so-called social media influencer who's promoting this unobtainable lifestyle. But after doing BOE, now when I think of an influencer, I understand it to be someone who energetically advocates for a worthy cause, which in our case is making quality education more accessible. So BOE really is such a helpful platform on which to base your advocacy approach as an informed and inclusive OE. I've also come to learn just how much planning, organization, and thought goes into the creation of a textbook or educational resource. And as OEs, we've been assisting Nikki Ann Rapin with the creation of her open textbook titled Open Education in the Performing Arts. So we've been helping to find, organize, and tailor open resources to our purposes. And I've seen just how important it is to create something that applies to the South African context, as many OERs that are available come from a Westernized perspective. And lastly, we're also in the process of preparing a presentation for students at our university in order to raise awareness about the resources that are out there and freely available to them. And although it might take me out of my comfort zone, I'm really excited to share with them about Open and hope that it makes them optimistic about the opportunities that Open Education presents. Hannah, over to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. My name is Hannah Tablanche, and I am a third year Bachelor of Music student at Nelson Mandela University and aspiring to become a music therapist. I am passionate about learning and sharing the knowledge and skills which I acquire with others in ways that they can understand and relate to. And Open is giving me a platform to do this. My role as an Open Education Influencer, OE, is to advocate for Open as well as assist our authors in the creation of Open textbooks. Being a part of this team gives me the opportunity to improve my research and writing skills, and being able to curate open resources that I as a student would benefit from using. My hope is to see open resources used more extensively in the arts and to grow a culture where creatives are developing open resources. I believe that music is about expressing yourself creatively and sharing that beauty with others. And what better way to do that than share our knowledge and skills on open platforms? I am grateful for the experience and skills that I've gained being an OE. And being a student, this has exposed me to the working world as well as pushes me to work on my time management. Completing the Becoming an Open Education Influencers course, BOE, has enlightened me to the possibilities within Open and has given me a basis of understanding about how to move forward curating, licensing, and advocating for open resources. I have also been made aware of the importance of education and the role that Open plays in it. Through assisting Nikki Ann Rapin in her Open Education and the Performing Arts textbook, I have grown in my research and how to extract relevant information, as well as being exposed to the processes of video producing video content. Yes, I've also been given the opportunity to further my knowledge in my field, the arts, and working hands-on with the content is equipping me for potential future positions and as an educator or facilitator and researcher. And I'm currently working on developing the 2022 Student Textbook Experience Survey. This research instrument has broadened my knowledge and skills in this area. And I'm looking forward to the new opportunities and challenges that this project will bring. Back to you, Gino.
Thank you, Hannah, and thank you, Lindsay. And as we listen to what the current cohort of open education influencers sort of share about what they've been exposed to in terms of professional development and the opportunities to curate, but also to create, I'd like to just sort of wrap up what students have said across the 5 years of our existence now. And they say that their contributions have been largely, and this is a summary, as makers, right? It's about brainstorming, it's about sourcing open content, it's the practical research. And you know, like, we're making young academics here, but we're turning them into working professionals. And they've been engaging in peer-to-peer research, conducting surveys. They've also been helping to develop a structure for the course and for modules. And this has now translated into them being able to do the same in the Open Textbook Fellowship project. Hannah and Lindsay have had to go on a boot camp in terms of script writing. And what's nice is that the previous cohorts of OEs created OER in terms of guides for filming, for script writing, for the production of these wonderful and illustrative videos that really do speak to people visually through the power of media. And then, I mean, look where we all are now, like without the open education influences, people here in this team are collaborating both locally and internationally. So what have students said about OER while doing the Bowie course? And this is just about open education resources, okay? I had no idea what this meant. And after watching the videos and reading the notes, I know what it is. I'm surprised the education system in South Africa is not exploiting this cost-effective and efficient way of delivering high-quality education. There are intellectual property issues, yes. But I believe the ideal of Ubuntu can possibly solve the issue. I've done 2 modules so far, and I'm enjoying the process. So Hannah and Lindsay spoke about going out there and doing research about student voices and textbook experiences. So we asked them about traditional textbooks before we asked them about open textbooks, right? So this is just going to go very quickly because you will have access to all of these resources at the end, and you can do some personal interrogation of all of this content. So this is some of what some students have said, and there's a lot, right? There's very fine print there as well. But I'm going to go here to the bottom middle, where someone says that the cost of textbooks has been a major challenge while attending university. It made university less enjoyable due to the poor grades when I can't afford a textbook. We're looking at social justice, I mean, access to information and good quality academic teaching and learning information should be available to everyone free of charge. Charge them for the accreditation, charge them for the stamp from the university once they've been assessed, but the knowledge should be free. So we are students, Rob's here, I'm letting him in, sorry. We are students, how many textbooks do you purchase in a semester? Like, really concerning is the fact, if you look at this gold bar here, that students are saying, I don't purchase textbooks at all. We asked them, has the cost of required textbooks ever caused you to do any of the following? And we go to that gold block again, right? And it says that they've earned a poor grade because they couldn't afford to buy the textbook. If you look at this blue, that's even more concerning because students are saying that they don't purchase that textbook at all. So what do you do to reduce textbook costs, we asked, and we said select all that people that apply. If we go from this purple here in the middle, I don't think that's purple on everyone's screen, but you can see where my cursor is. So we're borrowing books from a short loan program, and you know that that's a dodgy situation because it has to go back. You don't have control over access because of time constraints. You go further on, scan selected texts, share PDFs, borrow books from the short load, take photos of selected text materials, download illegally online, print materials and disregard copyright. These are all illegal behaviors or unethical behaviors at minimum. So we said, we asked people about like just open textbooks, and we said like open textbooks are free to read online, they're free to download, cheaper to print, and easy to share. How familiar are you with this? So you can see there that 77% of them said never heard of it. That 14% who said I've heard of it, but never looked for any, well, that skews the research, to be honest, because most of them had been in a workshop with either myself or my team of OEs before that. Then we asked them, would you use an open textbook if it was free? Yes. It was shareable without restrictive copyright? Yes. It could be printed? Yes. If it was created for your course? Yes. And if it was from another institution? Still yes. Should the university be using open textbooks? A large resounding yes from the students. And so we started the Open Textbook Fellowship in 2021. It was a pilot in 2022. We've taken great strides forward. It's not just about getting people into a project, however. It's about capacity building. And this is a screenshot taken on the day I got to France in for OE Global this year. And just 30 minutes after getting into the hotel, we had a support workshop for our current cohort of authors conducted by the UCT Dot4D team. Lots of us know that Dr. Glenda Cox is one of our GoGN alumni, and we're super grateful for their inputs, and they'll be joining us again. Media content, you are free to click on this link once you've got this this resource and see Open and the Arts by Ms. Nikki Ann Rapin. Of course, we can't speak about open textbooks without speaking about the library. So in 2022, we've made a formal collaboration with the Mandela Uni Library. They're helping us with curation support for identified resource scarce or high risk modules. And I think that that's a major, major stride in terms of engaging with areas of challenge in the student experience. They're also helping us to establish an open content repository of Mandela Uni learning and teaching resources. Of course, we've had several advocacy interventions or events online. During COVID, we had two colloquia, and last year's one was under the hashtags of disrupt, decolonize, but also develop. It was hosted by the amazingly talented ventriloquist and comedian and social anthropologist, Masters, Conrad Koch, and his satirical puppet, Chester Missing. Click on that link and have a look at another way for us to start engaging with the potential of open education in our spaces. Now, I'd like to ask one of the Mandela Uni developers about their experience and for some tips that you can use as you make your own online. And also, we're taking this to Open Education for a Better World in Slovenia in September, of course. So over to you, Košle.
Okay, thank you, Gino. Next slide, please. So Gino briefly introduced me. I am Košle de Blanche, all the way from the windy city of Port Elizabeth. I am currently employed at the Nelson Mandela University as a learning experience designer. My background, however, is in information technology, and I have probably about 24 years experience in higher education, supporting the higher education environment. My current focus is on learning analytics, process design, technology implementation to support administrative teacher and learner needs. And then the one thing I keep asking myself is, why do I do what I do? This is one of the questions Gino asked me right in the beginning when I got involved. And I replied to him that I feel passionate about what I do because for me, it affords me the opportunity to actually change the world by being part of a team that can design great learning experiences for our students. And then also a indirect goal is I can contribute directly to the SDG number 4, which says ensure inclusive and equitable quality education to promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Next slide, please. So this is my team and I. And like the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child. It also takes a big team, a multidisciplinary team, to create great online courses. Our Gina, you're going. Our team consists of graphic designers, learning experience designers, some ICT experience training, e-technologists, script writers, editors, and content experts. So I just want to acknowledge the rest of my team and remind everybody that the path to creating great content is not a lone path. I got involved in OE during lockdown when the entire world was in disarray. And I think for me personally, the project was a good coping mechanism for me to actually keep me focused on what I was doing and not to get too concerned about what was happening around me. So I used the time to broaden my scope and to enhance my skills. And I learned many new things. The thing I think that I gained the most confidence in is presenting, because presenting has always been a huge hurdle for me. Next slide, please. So I'm going to share with you my personal experiences as a student, as a teacher, as a facilitator, as a system engineer, and a course creator. Lesson, I think, number one, it does take effort to get things set up for the first time. And yes, it is a daunting task. But three short points I would say is start small, try to build feedback into your course and use the feedback to improve each iteration of your course. One of the brilliant things about online education or online resources is that you can easily and quickly make improvements on it. Then the other thing from our perspective that we discovered was we needed to be consistent for our students or our participants. So we worked on a standard way of presenting things so that it takes the guesswork out of the learning. The student knows exactly where to go, where everything will be, and how to get going. Next slide, please. Gino, you there?
Yes. Oh, I've gone to the next one.
Oh, there we go. Okay. And so I certainly had that perception is that open education resources are inferior because they are free. And that's why at our university, we placed emphasis on making sure that the quality of our courses does matter, and that they should meet instructional design and accessibility standards. And also to ensure that you review your courses regularly to make sure everything works, it's fresh and refreshed all the time. Next slide, please. So at Mandela Uni, we needed some way of evaluating our content, and we searched and we found an open educational resource for evaluating courses and decided we needed to recreate it in accordance with the 5 R's. We found this resource from the State University of New York. They developed an online course rubric and processes that addresses the instructional design and accessibility of online courses. A little bit about the rubric. The rubric is openly licensed for anyone to use and adapt. The aim of the rubric is to and process is to support continuous improvements to the quality and accessibility of online courses. The rubric consists of 50 different standards categorized into 6 different sections. At Mandela Uni, we adapted this rubric for self-evaluation of courses. Gino and I will be presenting the resource to the authors in the UNESCO Open Education for a Better World program in Slovenia in September this year. The next few slides are just images of the resource. I must add a disclaimer that this is the first draft of the resource and we are busy developing it and getting feedback as we speak. Next slide, please. Because this was a self-evaluation tool, we made sure to build in clear instructions into the resource. Next slide, please. And of course, give credit where credit is due. Next slide, please. the clear, it's self-explanatory. It tells you what to do, how to do it, where to get the results. Next slide, please. And then this particular slide, we actually just built in so that if you come back 5 months down the line, you know when last you checked your course, who it was checked by, and you have a record of the information. Next slide, please. This is an example of one of the categories with clear instructions on what to do. Each of the items, for example, course includes welcome and getting started content, a hyperlink to a web page. This web page then reviews the explanations, gives examples, suggestions, ideas on how to refresh your course. Next slide, please. That's the last screen in our evaluation tool. This particular evaluation is what I started when I was doing the Bowie course. It gives one overview of where you need to work on your course. It's a dashboard in a way to quickly say, hey, I need to make improvements here, or hey, I'm doing this well. Our next step is to license the tool as an OER and to make it available on our university website. And then I made a mental note that this is my last point. My Gino mentioned earlier that we have students that have become advocates and OEs. And I just like to emphasize that although the project is open education, there's a very important indirect goal of this project in that our OEs are creating student-generated content. Thank you, Gino. Over to you.
Thank you, Kosla, and really well said. I really like that last point that you made in terms of the student generation of content, because that's literally what we're trying to empower people with here. Very often the route to teaching and learning, or learning and teaching, like we phrase it here at Mandela Uni, is through the educators themselves. But I think that there's also a sort of transfer of competencies, of experience, that speaks directly to the ability to enter the professional world, the world of work, which is really what we're trying to empower our students into. So to wrap it all up, this is the GoGN sort of influence on what we've been doing. We are funded by the Siyaphumelela project here in South Africa, which is funded by the Kresge Foundation in the US. And we are so grateful for all of their help, because it's really profiled us and really like pushed us out into the real world and being able to do real things. And then of course, Open Education for a Better World, which is another UNESCO initiative that looks at international mentoring. And like I said, I'm the Africa Hub coordinator for this year. And there's several projects across this continent that look at specific SDGs and how we can help to realize that. So several of us are going to Slovenia in September, and we're so excited to do this because we've got lots to share. Kosla did say this, that it takes a village, and the Open Education Influences is definitely a village. If you just go through this list, you'll see there's several names that you know, including Dr. Robert Farrell. And Rob, I really want to say thank you for your mentorship, for you being like such an influence on my professional development as well. We had a hub coordination from Igor Leska from Open Education Global, which has been really, really invaluable. And then so many people have been sort of contributors to what we do. And it's an amazing, amazing opportunity just to acknowledge everyone here. I do want to say thank you to Mr. Dave Jenkins, Dr. Nalatando Tony, Dr. Charles Shepherd, and of course our DVC Learning and Teaching, Professor Cheryl Foxcroft. Before we go, sometimes you get recognized for the work that you do, and the work that we've done in Open has been internationally recognized in quite a few spaces now. And the work from GoGN, the fellowship that was granted to Dr. Christine Aranzi, who's also one of the GoGN alumni, allowed us to make the picture storybook called Together. We've been able to translate the picture storybook into so many different languages, international languages. I think that we've got 7 languages across the African continent. Some of the OEs facilitated these translations of a storybook, which really shares the values of Open and of collaboration with young people all around the world. And it's been such a rewarding experience. We won a 2021 UNESCO OER Implementation Award for Excellence and Community in Open Education. So that was amazing. And then finally, because of being able to work in this space, I was granted or I was awarded the 2021 Open Education Global Emerging Leader Award. And I'd like to say thank you for the acknowledgement and the recognition. But again, to stress that this has been because of a team of people and a team at University of Massachusetts Amherst with another GoGN member, Sarah Hutton. I cannot say thank you enough for all that you've done for all of us and to make Bowie real. You can visit our website on HTTPS, please, openedinfluences.mandela.ac.za. You'll find us under the Open Ed Influences hashtag on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We are quite prolific online. And you can look at our series of videos that we've created that always spoke about content creation and video production. It's called the Made During Lockdown series of videos. We look at the themes, we look at what open education is, we look at the routes to enter and open up in your spaces. But we also have a video there looking at traditional and open textbooks and what that means, along with a host of resources that you can access and find out more. If you want to access the Bowie course, use our enrollment guide in this document to access or share the course. And this is for yourself or for others. Push it out there. We don't mind. If you want to make a version of Bowie for yourself, please contact me. From us at Mandela University, we say change the world. And from me, thank you. Back to you, Beck.